Natural Resources Subcommittee of the Judiciary Committee, which also deals with guns. Counsel.
And law school admissions.
And law school admissions on Friday.
Is that right?
We're going to
have law school admissions, admission to the bar.
Admission to the bar to some extent.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
We deal with everything.
Just for the benefit of the people that are here as well as the committee, the only problem I have this morning, and I apologize, I'll probably be pulled out, is the Labor Committee is meeting, dealing with four bills. And there was a housing work group meeting dealing with a bill that's coming up for a hearing and work session tomorrow. That is over, but I may still be called out from time to time to labor, and I'll just mention that in advance. I apologize for not being here at 8:30, but I just couldn't be.
Thank you, Representative. All righty, Council, we had the one minor amendment we talked about, that in the application form, the "and not granted relief" should be in there to indicate that throughout our application forms, to indicate that if the court had said to this person, "You're okay," that means they're okay. When we didn't have it in there, so anybody have any problems with that being moved conceptually? Understand what we're talking about? All right.
That makes sense.
Any objection? Okay, so moved.
Okay.
Council, what do we have next here? We're going to work on.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what I would suggest is this. You have in front of you the 3470-9 amendment dated 523. The section 11 that is in the -9 amendment contains the concepts and the language that the committee considered on Monday night that has the revised court process, or
section
court
what?
Review process, section 11. What I would suggest is that we briefly go through that so that if the committee members see any glaring problems or errors in how that has come out, then we can begin to fix that. Then my other recommendation for this morning is that we deal with section 18, which is the enhancement sections, and section something at the end, which is the study section. I know that Representative Mannix has some additional information on the study stuff, so we might want to do that first in deference to his potential time schedule.
In the interest of time, how about if we just, since we're probably going to want to, being the lawyers that we all are, want to read through section 11 and make sure it's satisfactory, not bother to try to skim through that today, because that could probably wind up taking us 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And just get on to the next one, and if there's a problem with the section 11, we'll come back to it at a later hearing.
Okay.
That'd be my preference.
I agree, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Let's move on to the...
All right. Just note on your copies that the section 11 that's in the -9 is what we did on Monday night, what the committee adopted on Monday night. When we meet on Friday, the revised mental health sections, the mental health reporting, and the language and the laundry lists will appear at that time.
Thank you, Counsel.
Now, there are two technical amendments. Before we get into Section 18, what I'd like to do is there are two technical amendments that were proposed by the working group that are contained in the May 2nd working document that I would like to just bring to the committee's attention, and perhaps we can take care of that, and then we'll get into Section 18. The first one would be inserted on page 23 into Section 13. Section 13.
Counsel, you're going to have to tell us whether you're referring to the -9 or the working document.
I'm going to start by working off of the -9.
Okay. Where are we at in the working document? Page 14?
Page 14 of the working document, page 23 of the -9. Section 13, as is written in this bill, it's primarily a conformance section, and it has to do with unlawful possession of a firearm, and then adds in all the exceptions and other things that the bill adds into. One of the recommendations that was made by the working group was that on page 23 of the -9, inserted after line 23, that if a person has been granted relief, that this would not apply. It was basically an oversight. Again, it's just bringing in that relief provision and making it consistent throughout the bill.
Any objections?
Well, if a person has been granted relief, meaning what?
They would be entitled to either possess or purchase a firearm.
Appeal.
Through the appeal.
That we just created.
Yes. So what this does is say you would not be in unlawful possession if you had been granted relief.
Any objections?
We're dealing with the language on page, on lines 10, 11, and 12 on page 14 of the working document.
Okay. Any objections?
I think we have to do that.
I just,
yeah,
we do.
So move.
Okay. Page 14 of the working document, lines 17 and 18. This was, again, an oversight. Line 23 reads Class A misdemeanor. It was recommended initially that it be a Class C felony. And it was just never changed because we were amending old law and that didn't get amended.
Now, we're making this a Class A misdemeanor or a Class A felony?
We're making it a Class C. The committee is making it a Class C felony, which is consistent with other levels of new crimes that are being enhanced in this bill. It was the original recommendation, but again, because we were, the bill, between creating new sections and amending old statutes, there were points in time where it didn't all get updated.
Why does the working document say Class A misdemeanor?
Backwards. Because you're on a, because that's the old bill. Because the language in this.
Okay.
Oh, no, I take that back. I'm backwards.
Backwards.
I'm backwards. I apologize. It actually is line 30, and it should be back down to a Class A misdemeanor. I apologize.
Any objection to that change that I'm presently moving?
So 13 and 13A are consistent. I apologize.
So moved.
Okay. Now, Section 18 starts on page 25 of the Dash 9 amendments, and my explanation starts on page 15 of the working document. Now, for a minute, what I would like the committee's indulgence is just to sit back and listen for a second and let me try to explain the issue and the conflict between Section 18 as it's currently written and Oregon law as it's in the statute books so the committee can then decide what tack they want to take.
Council, remind me, Section 18, is that's a result of our last session?
No, work. Section 18, as it's in the Dash 9 amendments, is a new section.
Where did it come from?
The working group. And the original bill.
It was in the original bill.
It was in the original bill. Okay. Has not.
And it hasn't been there since. It hasn't been any of the previous Dash amendments.
That's well, no, it's always been there. We just have never discussed it.
Okay.
It has stayed. Section 18 was in the original bill and has continued to be Section 18. It just hasn't been discussed by this committee yet.
Okay.
And it basically is revisiting the issue of what do you do with a person who, in the course of committing a crime, uses or possesses a firearm. Now, Section 18, in the way that it is currently written in the bill, creates enhanced penalties when a firearm is used or possessed in the course or in relationship of a crime of violence or a drug trafficking crime. And what this bill does is say that if you use it, then if you use or possess a firearm during the course of either a crime of violence or a drug trafficking crime, that you would get the crime of that sentence plus an additional 10 or 20 years, or additional 5, 10, or 20 years added on to your sentence. Now, the reason that this becomes problematic is because of ORS 161.610, which even though it's called an enhancement statute in the statutes, is actually a mandatory minimum. And what 161.610 does is say that if the defendant is convicted of a felony and there is, as an element of that crime, the use of a gun, then you're going to have mandatory minimums. So current law deals with mandatory minimums, and those mandatory minimums are 5, 10, and 30 years, respectively. So on the one hand, on your mandatory minimums, for lack of a better word, you have floors that say if you use a gun in the course of a crime and the gun is part of the crime, then you have to spend, that's your minimum sentence. What Section 18 does is say we're going to give you the sentence of your crime and then we're going to add some additional time on. Now, to compare the two, If you look...
Why is that a conflict?
Because you may end up in situations where what you're... It ends, two ways it ends up in a conflict, as I read 161.610, is that the directions to the court may be inconsistent directions. You may get... The judge may look to one place and say, under this new provision, this is what your sentence would be. Under 161.610, this is what your sentence may be, and they may not be the same sentence. I think that there's a way, ultimately, to meld them together, but I think...
Actually, if 161.10 is just a floor.
Yes.
Under any circumstances, you must have at least this much time.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me finish.
Okay.
The reason that it's, just to backtrack, you may end up in a situation where if you're sentencing somebody, you may end up under Section 18 with a different sentence than 161.610. So then you put the judge in a position of saying, well, what do I do? But there are also policy differences between Section 18 and 161 that the committee has to deal with. The first one is this. And again, they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. They just overlap. And I think the question to the committee is, how do you make them perhaps interlock in a way that makes it easier for a sentencing judge, irrespective, of course, of sentencing guidelines?
Yeah, that's my next question.
Yeah, I think they'd be offended by the longer terms.
The latest decision made by the sentence...
Counsel?
Yes.
What will the effect of sentencing guidelines...
I do know that 161.610, the minimum, mandatory minimum sentence is not... that the State Sentencing Guidelines Board has not recommended that be repealed. So those minimum sentences that are in this statute stay in place.
Well, that's true. As a matter of fact, the sentencing guidelines have a provision in there specifically dealing with gun offenses, but other statutory minimums, and basically leaves those alone. Doesn't create a new set of minimums, doesn't create its own minimums, but respects existing statutory minimums, or at least tries to.
Yes.
That's my very ignorant understanding of it.
No, that's a very not ignorant. That's exactly what they've done. That's what they did last week. So in that sense, it doesn't. If you look on the working document, page 15, starting on lines 20, I've done some comparisons of the difference between the two. Section 18 deals primarily with crimes of violence and drug trafficking. Versus 161, which deals with all felonies. 3470 deals with use of possession. 161.610 deals with use or threatened use. So there's a higher... Well, let me just finish. 3470 deals with a mandatory minimum where the crime is aggravated due to the use of the firearm. 161 is punishment is the court sentence plus additional... Actually, that's backwards. Mandatory minimum sentence is what 161 does, and what 3470 does is add-on time. Now, D is an important issue. Due to the double jeopardy provision and the way that Section 18 is written, it could not be used to enhance any sentence where the use or possession of the use of a firearm is a substantive element of the crime. So what 161 says is if you use a gun and the gun is an element of the crime, then we're going to give you these mandatory minimums. What Section 18 tries to do is say, if you have a gun with you, but it's not an element of the crime, then we're going to add some additional time for certain crimes. Now, it's hard for me to come up with an example of a crime of violence where you would have a gun, it would be a crime of violence, and you wouldn't use the gun. I suppose it's possible, but I haven't figured one out yet. And so in sorting some of that out, it gets complicated as well.
Couldn't you just say that you're going to have the enhanced sentences except where possession of a gun is an element of offense? Of the offense?
Could.
That gets you around the double jeopardy problem. Doesn't it?
So long... Yeah, I think so long as you can envision a scenario where you'd have a crime of violence. I mean, come up with a scenario where it would apply.
Well, that's...
Crime of...
Suppose you break into some place.
was present, but really it's not an element of that particular violence.
I mean,
Schubert is one of the worst case, the least case.
Well, let's go back and look at the definition.
You have a gun in your, in the cock.
Well, that's a possibility. Given the definition of a misdemeanor involving violence, now also the bill only defines misdemeanors of violence. I'm assuming that the committee would choose to define crimes of violence in addition. I mean, a couple different things. I mean, to say crimes of violence and drug trafficking crimes without greater definition and direction, I think is one issue. But again, I mean, those are just, I don't know, you know, it's as you try to sort through it and figure out how to put the pieces together, I think the intent of Section 18 was to say anytime somebody uses a gun in these kinds of things, we want to make sure that they're getting as much time as they can get.
How about, I personally, counsel, prefer the man.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that there's some value in, I mean, that's a lot cleaner way to do it, and I agree with you. I think there's some value to having a Section 18 in this bill, because one of the things that the folks that I've been hearing from in my district on this bill want in any gun bill, they want to see that we're cracking down on people who use firearms illegally. And it seems to me that from the standpoint of saleability of this bill, that it makes sense to be able to point to a section that says we're going to make life hard on people who use guns as part of their criminal activity.
We could make Section 18 the section of men, whatever it is.
That would be fine.
Okay.
I don't care how we do it. I just think it's important to have a Section 18 that addresses the question of criminals using firearms. Because that's one of the main bones of contention about this is that it's not us that are misusing guns anyway. It's them. And we need to have a section dealing with them.
Mr. Jim Miller, any thoughts on this? Yeah, it would be kind of terrible if the legislature did anything, wouldn't it?
Well, I think that in light of...
They're not paid.
One thing that the committee could do in light of the where the conversation is going is increase the penalties in 161.610. And that way, the minimum terms currently, if the defendant has used or threatened use of a firearm, I mean, there's a couple ways you can go if you want to meld them. 161.610 talks about use or threatened use. That could be expanded And again, I mean, I'd have to think this through more closely, but that could be expanded to be use threatened use or possession, which would get at the issue of possession that was included in Section 18. So that would be one amendment to 610 that would bring them together. The penalties in 161, 610 are the same as Section 18. However, 161, except for Section 18, considers that there's going to be an underlying sentence as well. So what you could do is increase the mandatory minimums in 161, 610.
Counsel, are there any crimes of violence, would there be any situation in which you would use or threaten to use a firearm and it wouldn't be a crime of violence?
Depending upon how we define crime of violence, I don't think so. But I don't know. I mean, this committee, I think in some of its discussions, considers criminal mischief a crime of violence. So if a defendant has on their person a gun and goes up to a store, the gun's, you know, in the holster, so to speak, but they kick the window in, that's a crime of violence. I guess I'm not sure.
Mr. Chairman?
Because I lost my train of thought.
This section moves in the direction I want us to move anyway, which is determinate sentencing, and I'm sure Representative Miller would agree, ultimately set by the legislature. And some of us are prepared. We're paying for the prison space we're going to need to accommodate these fine folks. So in this particular area, this has been an area of national debate about enhanced penalties as far as possession or use of a firearm in any kind of a crime, actually. Now, we've limited it to a crime of violence or a drug trafficking crime. I'd be willing to go further, but in deference to others, I'm willing to leave it at that. And yes, we would have a definite term, and it would be, as far as I'm concerned, we'll have to just keep that in mind when we take a look at the amount of prison space available. What I'm saying, I guess, is I support this approach. I might be amenable to some technical changes.
You won't go back and do a vote count on the last. Representative Miller.
Well, I wonder if Representative Mannix would have some thought about your question about the
What's the statute number?
161-610.
161-610. Everybody. The statute is presently written, it raises the situation where you could be in constructive possession of the firearm. It could be in your
vehicle. But, I mean, the worst scenario.
Here's a phrase.
Go out and commit reckless driving.
Uses or relies on. So when I go up to the bank teller and I open my coat and show a gun, I've relied on it, even though you might say I didn't use it.
No, that's
on the other hand.
That's certainly use within the meaning of the statute.
All right. Well, but I see the possessive problem. I see the possessive problem.
Current statute says uses or threatens to use.
Representative Mannix, one of the things that we're doing, and the reason I handed you the criminal code, is that we're trying to make Section 18 consistent with 161-610, which is Oregon's mandatory minimum sentences, to take some language out of Section 18 and put it into 610 to make 610 a little bit stronger. Is that an accurate assessment?
I think so, counsel.
I agree that we shouldn't create new statutes when we have a statute that's generally on the subject. We should amend that statute.
That's the direction the committee is going, and so that's why I handed you a criminal code so everyone would have 610 in front of them. If you look at the language in 18 and the language in 161-610, I think the options are, there are a couple of different options. Broadening the kinds of felonies to which it would apply, and again, I mean, when you deal with use or threatened use, I'm not sure that there's much more except for potentially possession. But then it would be possession in possession as an element of the crime, and so that would, I think, alleviate some of your concerns, Mr. Chair. Another possibility would be to increase the mandatory minimums, and then. There is, I think, the other I think thing would be to do is come up with the two-tiered approach that they've done in Section 18 and adopt that as well in terms of the difference in use of guns.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Mannix.
I move that we adopt as a conceptual amendment Section 18 as an amendment to ORS 161.610 so that it can be drafted with these concepts blended into 610 with the limitation that we take out the possesses and rely on the concept of 610, which is use or threatened use.
Representative Mannix,
Representative Mannix, there's a problem there, though.
What?
Section 18 is an enhancement section, which says basically there's you have to have an underlying offense, underlying sentence first. 161.610 says as an element of the crime. So we can take some of the concepts and make the penalties under 610 stronger, but I'm not sure how we can draft something that's.
Counsel, I don't think does the committee have any problem leaving it as an enhancement section?
No, I don't have any problem with
that.
So
you end up with a two-tiered approach. So your felonies that it's a. So let me make sure I follow you. For your felonies where it's a commission of the crime, 610 applies. For anything that's not covered in 610, where you have use or threatened use and it's not an element of the crime, you're going to have an add-on?
No. My intention would be that you have, in effect, a separate statute that says when you commit a crime of violence or drug trafficking crime, regardless of what the crime is, the minimum sentence will be as stated in Section 18, and that this supersedes the minimum sentence. So what you have to, a statement in effect through 610, that you will have to prove the elements of whatever crime that you're charging, plus you will have to prove the additional element of use or threatened use. If you prove that additional element, the penalty will then be the minimum penalty prescribed in Section 18. And in fact, I would suggest the juries might even be given instructions that separate out that additional element to determine whether or not that minimum sanction applies.
See, Counsel, how is this handled right now? I don't remember. I haven't dealt with much.
Well, here's my instruction to counsel.
Or is this a
in order to save the committee time, my amendment is to make this a minimum sentence provision for any crime, as described here, and I would like counsel to work with legislative counsel to find the right sections of the criminal code to make this concept effective as the minimum sentence. Certainly, the sentence could be higher, because the other crime may require a higher sentence. But this would be the minimum sentence for a crime involving use or threatened use of firearms.
Which would be the minimums?
These would be the minimums, Section 18.
Now, Section 18, in terms of their actual sentences, is the same as 610.
Well,
and actually, 610 is higher. Where we're running into problems is you've got a double jeopardy problem. You can't sentence somebody on a crime where they have used the gun in the commission of the crime, give them 5 years, and then, because they used the gun, give them another 5 years.
Double jeopardy has to do with the conviction, and it'll be up to the prosecutor to prove the additional elements of Section 18 as part of the original charges and conviction. I'm satisfied that counsel can come up with language, and actually we need to review the other criminal code provisions to see if there's others that need to be made consistent with this. To tie in the language that if you prove the use or threatened use of a firearm as described here, regardless of what the other minimum sentences will be, unless they're higher, this will be the minimum sentence that's imposed. But make it not just an enhancement of penalty. In effect, it's a higher type. It is a supplemental offense to whatever the other offenses are. And you could say that any crime charged, you just add the words involving use of a firearm or whatever phraseology, and you've got the enhanced crime charged. That's my intention.
How about if there's a problem with that,
I will see what I can do.
I agree with that, Mr. Chairman.
Fix it, make it back, or move it.
Do you want, is it the committee's preference that we add language to 610, or do you want a separate section?
I mean,
an additional section to 610, perhaps?
I think we just need to amend 610, and then we'll also need to add.
I agree, Mr. Chairman.
All right, let's do that.
put this one later, because this is not a...
Okay.
If we have to, I'll...
All right, I can sort it out.
I'll handle it.
Okay.
What do we have next, Council?
Well, we're into the study at this point.
The study. Okay, we're giving them fingerprints on handguns for the period of the study. Well, they're gonna have the handgun fingerprints, but we want to take, I think it's a consensus of the committee that we want to take fingerprints away except for handguns.
Right, and that has already been deleted from the original bill. The study starts on page 29. And the language that was in there originally that had to do with the thumbprints for the long arms has already been deleted.
I think one of the things we need is a specific... When can the study first be begun?
Sort of the question that I have by then.
I'd also be happy to look into it. I think it may be, there may be other places, current Oregon law, to add this to, as opposed to putting it in this bill as a new section. And I will.
I think that's true.
That's what I was sitting
I've
here
looked
doing.
To and I can't find it. I mean, I can't.
I mean, so my initial recommendation may be to think about taking it out of a new section and putting it in a current ORS section, where other civil rights types of claims are established. I think that may be cleaner right there, but
that might work better. Council, I represent Miller is going to have to leave, which means we're going to have to shut down. So I want that we're missing that we wanted to address that we haven't. before we have to shut, because we're going to have a de facto end of the work session here in a second.
It seems to me, where's my list? It seems to me that I have no other minor or technical amendments at this point. I have to go back and go through the original list and clean it all up, but at this point I think the committee has addressed all of the minor concerns and the technical concerns that were raised initially.
We still have some other things I think coming up. Oh, one thing on handguns into perpetuity or just for the period of the study?
I don't know the answer to that. I want to know what the proposal was.
Speaker's office is going to come
Please step forward. Representative Calhoun, Corey McGregor, Speaker's office. The agreement is that fingerprinting is separate from on handguns is separate from the study, so it would be for. Yeah.
For handguns or just or
for handguns.
Field weapons permits.
No, for all handguns.
Fingerprints for handguns would not just be for the study.
Right.
It's on a whole different track.
Right.
I think those are two of the big things that make the speaker happy with his bill. So. Okay, as long as we're advised of that, I doesn't if we decide otherwise. Appreciate the input so we understand that.
Before we leave, I think we have to represent
Annex's section. This basically, I think, requires them to go out and
yeah. I've got to be sold on this one, Mr. Chair. Okay. I've got to be sold on this.
We'll be part of the come back with your findings or cost of money and let them know.
This would be done. Actually, there would be no specific money in this because they would delegate it to an interim legislative committee that will be here. So interim transportation or interim judiciary or interim somebody would be, if this passed, given the task of coming up with these recommendations.
And I've had serious personal philosophical problems with a uniform state ID card.
It's got fingerprints on it?
It's got fingerprints. It's going to have a...
That's predictable.
I personally have a lot of the same concerns about the firearm, or good things in motion, but we'll let Representative Mattis come back and try to sell it to us. With that, we're going to adjourn until Friday morning at 8:30. Nice work, committee. What's left of the committee?